Today on Real Radio.
As Jesus was conversing with her and talking back and forth about worship, the question came and she said, we worship God in this mountain and Mount Gerizim, and you Jews say that God should be worshipped in Jerusalem. And Jesus says, listen, verse 23, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, people mark it, there's true worshipers and there's false worshipers.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his mini-series from the book of Acts, chapter 2, in verses 41 through 47. It's a parenthetical group of studies called Why Should I? Recently, we've examined questions that relate to today's topic: why should I fellowship, why should I go to church, and why should I come back to church? Today, our teacher answers the question, why should I worship? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
With Paul the Apostle, we agree. I give you these things, but you search and see and examine the Scriptures to determine whether these things be so, Paul said, Acts 17:11. The great thing about that is this. No matter how much knowledge we attain as a spiritual person, the moment we die, or the moment we get raptured, or once we enter into eternity with God, it doesn't matter. We've all joked around, there's going to be a final quiz. You better get this point down. You know, there'll be a test at the end of your life. Oh, that's not true. All the smart people are not going to be up front near the throne. It will be all the equal people. And do you know how we become equal? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you see in the Bible how kings believed in him. The most powerful man that ever ruled the world was a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar gave glory to God and confessed, it doesn't matter what I know, and it doesn't matter the great kingdom I've built, God alone rules and reigns from heaven. It doesn't matter what you know, and it doesn't matter how much power you have, because then you can look in the Bible, you can see the person who does not have, in fact, a place to live, a person who has no money, a person who, in fact, that old little widow at the temple gave her last two mites that she needed to live on. She gives to God in an act of worship. And the word in the Greek, you know this, it's the word bios. Remember, you guys all know this. The word bios means her livelihood. She gave to God the very money she needed to take away the hunger, pain in her belly. She gave to God the money that she needed to pay her rent. She gave to God the money she needed to live that day. She gave it to God. And Jesus says, oh, guys, did you see that? And that's a beautiful thing when Jesus questioned his disciples. Did you see that? Frankly, probably no. Because you know what? If you've studied about temple giving, it was quite disgusting. Because they would come into the temple, the people, the worshipers, they would come in, and I kid you not, research it and see. You ever heard the term tooting your own horn? That's where it came from. The people who had the bucks, they would come into the temple. They would come in, let's say for argument, let's just say the church. They would come into the church, and with all of their wealth and all of their pomp and glory, they'd come in, and they had on their pinky, on their little baby finger, a little trumpet. It was on a ring. Remember when we were kids, used to buy the, was it ice cream or what was that thing? Hey, anybody in here over 45, raise your hand for crying out loud. 10 of us. Remember you used to buy whatever it was from the ice cream truck that used to go around? And whatever it was, you'd eat it and drink it or whatever, and then you'd, oh, now you got it. Remember, You'd blow that thing. That's what they used to do. They would come in. They'd pull out their money. Everyone would go, ho, ho, what's that? And then they would go, ka-plonk, into the brass coffers of the offering. And everyone would go, oh, oh, what an offering. Boy, when I grow up someday, I'd like to make an offering like that. You think God was impressed with that? That was Jesus' whole point. He says, I tell you what, everybody, hey, guys, listen up. You see that little lady who gave little tiny bits? I mean, when she put hers in, it went tink. He said, I tell you, that woman gave more to God than all these people. It's the matter of the heart. And frankly, it's the matter of the sacrifice. Do we trust God enough? It's a spiritual act. It's a wonderful thing. It doesn't matter how much you know in eternity. It matters if you worship God, and that's right now. Oh, listen. It doesn't matter if you are now thinking, I'm going to say something very, very challenging. If you are a person who's sitting here and you come in from week to week and you're thinking, you know what, I don't need to learn these songs. I'll just wait to sing when I get in heaven. My friend, you've completely missed your relationship with Jesus Christ. You've missed it. One of the most awesome privileges of being this earthbound believer that you are and that I am is that as often as we so choose, we can leave this planet. By worshiping God, we get enthralled and enraptured in who He is. Worship. Once we break whatever holds us down in this area of worship, you, your life, spiritually, us together, this church will know no boundaries. God will bestow upon us the Holy Spirit's ability to do anything in this world that God so chooses if we will only worship. So if you're thinking, well, worship's not that big of a deal, I have to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ personally? You may be very religious. You may have a lot of knowledge. You may be able to quote chapter verse. But someday that knowledge will mean nothing. And will you have worshiped God in your life? We're going to be in heaven. It won't matter how many missionary trips you've taken, or your great missionary or evangelistic exploits. It won't matter once we're in heaven how many people we led to Christ. What will matter is if you and I right now can sing, worship, praise, and dedicate our lives as an act of worship to God. Doesn't matter about our good works, our ministries, the very gifts that we have. It's all going to be done away. Isn't it true? It will be done away. It will be gone. Because all of those things will be replaced by perpetual, eternal worship. So you know what? We need to practice a lot. All the time. It's all about worship. Isaiah chapter 6, turn there if you like. Mark it down if you would. Isaiah chapter 6, you got to love it. You want to know why? Isaiah was quite a spoiled man in the beginning of his life. He was a rich kid. Did you know that? The prophet Isaiah, he was born into privilege. He had a lot of influence, a lot of wealth, came from a privileged home. Influential Isaiah. He was best friends to the king of the nation. Him and Uzziah, they were great buddies. Listen carefully. It doesn't take much to read between the lines of Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. He says, Isaiah writing, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. By the way, a lot of Hebrew scholars believe that the reason why Isaiah puts it that way is because Isaiah could not see the Lord while Uzziah was alive, because Uzziah was too big of a man in the eyes of Isaiah. Uzziah was almost like an idol great king. Oh, what a tremendous man. And then Isaiah confesses, in the year that he died, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What did he see? He saw the Lord seated upon his throne. That's a good place. The Lord's in the right spot in your worship. High and lifted up. Christian, is the Lord high and lifted up in your estimation? Or is he just your big buddy in the sky? And the train of his robe filled the temple, or the glory of his robe filled the temple. Do you see God glorious? Or is he the big man upstairs? Above it, the temple, stood seraphim. Study those guys. They're weird. They're an angelic order that will freak you out. Listen, each one had six wings. With two, that's two of those wings, he covered his face. So get that. It's with, with one set of wings, he's covering his face. With the other set of wings, he's covering his feet. And with the other set, he flew. Seems to me if you have six wings, you need them to fly with. Whatever you are. Seraphim reside in the presence of God. God, when he created them, gave them six wings. Isn't that trippy? See, Jack, that kind of scares me. No, they're incredibly beautiful. We think of six wings and some creature. To us, it looks like a dragon, right? Some kind of a freaky-looking medieval dragon. Apparently not. They're extremely beautiful. I know it sounds weird, doesn't it? I can't wait, but we're going to see these guys when we get there. Oh, man, there's the seraphim. We learned about those in church. We're going to be like, there he is. There's one right there. Think about it. So when they come into the presence of God, or are they always in the presence of God? It appears so. They've got two wings covering their face. Now watch. You have to watch. Are you looking up here? Watch. Two wings covering their face. Then they've got two wings covering their feet. They got to come down over their body to cover their feet. Then with two wings, I imagine the remaining wings, they're flapping like all get out just to say aloft, you know. So what are they covering their faces? Why are they covering their bodies for? Because of the glory of God. No wonder why Paul the Apostle says that God, who dwells in unapproachable lights, is he who no man has ever seen nor can see and live. We're going to heaven. But the Bible says that we have to go through a, and the Greek word is metamorpho. We get the word metamorphosis. You and I cannot see God face to face until we have a metamorphosis. This literal, physical, biological structure of who we are, the Bible teaches we will be molecularly rearranged. It's called resurrection. And if somebody were dead right here on the floor right now and they were resurrected, their dead body would not be there anymore. It would be changed in a moment, the Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye. Oh, man, no wonder why we say, oh, God, you know what? We want to worship you. Wow. A spiritual act of worship. Isaiah goes on. Listen. Isaiah 6:3 says, and one cried to the other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. They're all saying it to each other. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, this is Isaiah speaking, quoting, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people, or unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the king, not King Uzziah, he's a little king. This is the king, the Lord of hosts. And before we leave off of this verse regarding our spiritual dynamic of worship, keep this in mind. When those holy seraphim angels are saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty," repeat it again in the book of Revelation, guess what? They mean it. The Bible says they do not cease to say it day and night. Now, I don't know how that sits with you. I mean, look at us. It's like, we'll listen to something. See a movie. That's a good one. You know, see a movie. A couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, when you hear something over again, it just becomes callous. I was at Disneyland going on, the Soaring Over California ride. And the guy's talking on the screen, and the attendant that's seating us, she's just going. And she's mouthing exactly the words of what's being broadcast on the screen. And you could tell it's falling right out of her face, right out of her mouth, but she doesn't, it's not a clue. It's just a routine. You ever seen when something becomes routine? It's like when we were in school. I pledge allegiance. Oh, the United States of America, one nation of God. Okay, fine. It's like no big deal. Do you think these angels in their presence of God going, "Holy, holy, oh, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, the Almighty"? No. They do it day and night, forever and ever. They have been. They're doing it right now. They're doing it right now. And they're going to do it forever. And you know what? They like it. They love it. And we need to say unto the Lord, "Give me that kind of heart." Because you know what? They're going to have to move over someday. Because you and I will be there. The book of Revelation is such a glorious book. And where do you see the church? Praising God in heaven in the book of Revelation. A multitude so vast, called out from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And what are they doing? Are they witnessing from door to door? No. Are they feeding the homeless in heaven? No. Not at all. What are they doing? They're worshiping. I love it. Well, jot this down if you would. Worship as a spiritual act, it requires new spirituality. Can you put that down, please? It requires new spirituality. Meaning, you cannot worship God, the Bible says, unless you're born again. You can't do it. You must be born again. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, John 20:21, Jesus said unto them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this unto them, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John chapter 20, verses 21 to 22, is that moment for the first time regarding the birth of the New Testament believer. It was in that moment of John chapter 20 when the believers were born again. The Spirit of God began to dwell in them when Jesus says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He came inside of them at that moment. And then, of course, the book of Acts is when he came upon them for ministry. You and I must be born again to worship God. Our hearts need to be completely changed before we can worship God rightly, says the Bible. So we need a new spiritual birth. And I want to ask you this morning, regarding the pathology of worship, have you experienced a new spiritual birth? You say, "Well, Jack, why are you saying this?" Because listen, you can be religious. You can be a choir director. You can be a worship leader. And listen, you can miss heaven. That sounds awful mean. Who was the greatest worship leader ever created? Louis Lucifer. Lucifer. God created him. Read the book of Ezekiel. Read the book of Isaiah. It's trippy. The Bible says, and if my memory serves me right, I don't have it in my notes, I think it's Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. If it's not, reverse those chapters and read about him. He's pretty interesting, Satan is. The Bible says concerning his creation, there has been no angel created more beautiful than Lucifer. He was given extreme wisdom, and it was his job, listen, it was his job to lead all the created universe into worship of God, says the Bible. It says that out of his side go pipes. Pipes? Hey, what does that look like? I don't know. It's got to be weird, though. Out of his side go pipes, and his hands, it says, were as timbrels. You know what timbrels are? Tambourines. You ever seen those cartoons when somebody's trying to play and be the whole band at once, and the guy just walks, and he's the drum, the horns, and the cymbals, and it appears that Satan was one living, breathing, moving worship apparatus for the glory of God. But in his worship, the Bible says he became jealous. And he declares in the book of Isaiah his great five I wills. And it all begins with, I will be like God. And the Bible tells us that he was brought down to nothing because of his arrogance and his pride. But he was a tremendous created being for worship. Well, we need to have new hearts. We need to be born again if we're going to worship God right. And so the question is, are you born again? Have you had a new spiritual life so that you might worship? Secondly, under this point, worship is a spiritual act, and that it requires divine truth. Did you know that? It requires divine truth. I think you know where I'm going with this one. We came through it not too long ago, John chapter 4. Regarding the Samaritan woman at the well, Jacob's well, John chapter 4, verse 23, as Jesus was conversing with her and talking back and forth about worship, the question came, and she said, we worship God in this mountain, and Mount Gerizim, and you Jews say that God should be worshipped in Jerusalem, and Jesus says, listen, verse 23, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, people mark it, there's true worshipers and there's false worshipers. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Spirit is that born-again experience that we're talking about. Truth is God's prescribed manner of approaching him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Why Should I Worship? And of course, we're talking about much more than just singing with the congregation. It's a study taken from the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 2, the basis for this mini-series called Why Should I? Which is available to you, by the way, all on one MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Again, we'd be glad to send you this series all on one convenient MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. If you want, you can read more about it simply by paying us a visit at realradioactive.org and under the banner Special Offer, realradioactive.org. If you'd like, you can give us a call by using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us. Send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, of course, if you missed any of this contact info, just remember realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.